Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn?
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Obviously, lots of people talking about Christina Aguilera's performance of the national anthem at last night's Super Bowl, a little misadventure about halfway through. But my guest, Christopher J. Farley of the Wall Street Journal, says that these sorts of liberties and even mistakes just might be in the tradition of the Star-Spangled Banner. Christopher, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So why is there such a hue and holler every time somebody, muffs the words of the national anthem?
Well, I think it's because it represents America, because it means something to us as a country. People don't want to see it messed around with too much. And when people go beyond boundaries, sometimes just sort of imaginary boundaries that people have set within their minds, it really upsets them. And over the years, the Star-Spangled Banner has been adapted in a number of ways. You know, a couple of years ago, a group of singers came out with a version of the national anthem that was in Spanish. And that caused a whole lot of questions and discussions about national identity. Should it be in Spanish? Should it not be in Spanish? Should it be in other languages? Perhaps one of the most famous sort of change-ups to the national anthem was when Jimi Hendrix did his instrumental version in 1969 in Woodstock, and at first, many people interpreted that as being unpatriotic. How dare he interpret it in a rock kind of format with electric guitar? What is he doing? But Hendrix actually never said it was unpatriotic, and in fact, he had served in the military. He actually said at one point in an interview that this was something that evoked his childhood, and that's one reason he wanted to revisit the song. And so it may have actually been his own version of a kind of patriotic statement. So sometimes the interpretations themselves are held up to all sorts of interpretations by the public, and these versions can become major flashpoints, cultural flashpoints in people's minds.
As this Jimi Hendrix performance did at Woodstock in 1969. Jimi Hendrix, Woodstock 1969, and his performance of the Star-Spangled Banner. And we're speaking with Christopher J. Farley, senior editor of Speakeasy, the Wall Street Journal's culture website. And let me read you a comment from JT on Long Island. You have to have a lot of talent to stylize the anthem. Marvin Gaye's was the best. It just shows that current artists get by with less effort. Aguilera has been performing for so many years, and yet she couldn't do much with her opportunity yesterday. What do you think about the Marvin Gaye performance that JT is referring to? You probably know the one he means.
No, that Marvin Gaye performance was a masterpiece. It's one that he did in front of an NBA All-Star game. And I think what really made it special is the fact that he managed to make this song that means so much to so many people. He ended up making it, his own. It came out in his kind of a style. It kind of sounded like a slow jam, and it sounded like a love song and a prayer all at the same time. And this was back in 1983, and so it really was a bold statement, a bold stylistic statement on his part. And what I loved about it also, if you watch the video of it, you can watch it on YouTube, he never removes those sunglasses, even though they're indoors. So he's a cool guy. He remains an icon of cool. But, of course, he is a legend. A Christina Aguilera would like to be a legend. It's a difficult task to do that, to take on a song that's been sung so many times and make it your own. It really takes a big personality to do that. But she herself has done some risky versions of this song in the past. She once did a version in which she was accompanied only by sort of a drum beat, and it was a very stripped-down version of the song. So she knows how to change it up. She's been singing it for a long time. It's actually sort of surprising that someone like Christina Aguilera, who really is a professional, would mess up the lyrics in front of such a huge audience.
Well, Marvin Gaye messed up nothing that evening at the 1983 NBA All-Star Game, and this really is a classic performance of the national anthem.
What the ramparts we watched were so gallantly, yeah. And the rockets rippling, the bombs bursting in air.
Marvin Gaye, before the 1983 NBA All-Star Game. Christopher, would this have been controversial in its own way in its day?
Well, I think because he's such a master at pulling it off, it didn't become controversial. Also consider the venue. I mean, he did it in front of the NBA All-Star Game. There's a certain vibe attached to that. People knew what you're going to get when you have Marvin Gaye step onto the court at an NBA All-Star Game, so it seemed to fit what was going on. I think that many of the audience members who were watching Christina Aguilera perhaps weren't that plugged into the whole pop soul genre, and when they saw her perform, it was not only the fact that she flubbed some lyrics, but her style of singing was kind of a shock to them, especially attached to a song like The Star-Spangled Banner.
Hmm.
And what's funny about that is The Star-Spangled Banner really has its roots in change and adaptation. When it was first written, this is a song that was adapted from an old English drinking song.
Right.
So, you know, Key himself was adapting a song for his own purposes, and now today other singers want to adapt the song that he wrote to their own purposes. So it really sort of follows the tradition that Key himself began when he wrote the song.
We've still got comments coming in on the soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. So let's check in with our producer, Joel Meyer, in the control room. Joel?
John, our listener Marissa from Manhattan takes issue with that Jimi Hendrix clip that we just played. Marissa writes, "The Hendrix performance of the anthem was a reinterpretation. Aguilera just flubbed the words. There's no comparison." And Julie from Skillman, New Jersey writes this, "Okay, disregarding the lyrical screw-up, Christina Aguilera generally has more strength and greater range. She could have and should have done better. She's proven in the past that I can expect more from her."
What about the idea? Well, I mean, Christopher, you were mentioning, you know, this that you were sort of surprised that she didn't, in fact, do better, especially given the fact that she has done the song before. Do you remember when and where she did the version you were talking about where she was accompanied only by a drummer?
It is on YouTube. I don't know if there's a date attached to it. I don't have it right in front of me, but I do remember that it was a terrific version. It was very stripped down, very direct, very emotional, and she's performed it many other times. You know, and not just at that particular moment. I mean, this is something she's done many, many times since the age of seven. So I think that listeners are sort of focused on two different things. One, her lyrical screw-up, which is acknowledged, and she's acknowledged it, and the fact that she also did do sort of a stylistic switch to the song, and she sort of added more soul to it.
Let's hear that older version accompanied only by drums. Not sure when this is from, but it is Christina Aguilera and an earlier performance of the national anthem.
Christina Aguilera.
Yes, indeed. And some quick sleuthing by the soundcheck crew reveals 2005 as the date of that Christina Aguilera performance of the national anthem. Kind of cool, Christopher, as you said, very stripped down, just her and the drummer. All of these interpretations, Jimi Hendrix, Marvin Gaye, that Christina Aguilera, anytime you reinterpret the song, you know, some people will feel that it's the wrong thing to do. But as you point out in your article, there is this tradition of it. But is there...
I should also say it's important to note the venue she did that performance in. And again, like Marvin Gaye, she was singing it in front of an NBA All-Star competition, and it was in Los Angeles. And so people expected a certain kind of vibe out of that performance, and she delivered it. I think if she'd done that same performance in front of, you know, maybe an NFL game or at a baseball game, people might have had a different reaction to that performance.
Interesting. All right. Christopher Farley is senior editor of Speakeasy, the Wall Street Journal's cultural website. Christopher, thanks for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that's going to do it for today's show. On our next program, after a long hiatus, the Detroit rock duo The White Stripes have called it quits. On tomorrow's Soundcheck Smackdown, our guests debate Jack and Meg White's legacy. Plus a live performance from singer-songwriter Nicole Atkins. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Paul Schneider. The program is produced by Greta Cohn with Nona Willis-Aronowitz. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer, and we had help today from Katie Salmon. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck.